You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Yes, Andrew Little joined me again this week for our regular chat. This week we discussed judge protection, the bail law, and whether he thinks New Zealand should become a republic. Here is Andrew.
Former Attorney General Chris Finlayson has put forward a private member's bill that will limit the criticism judges can face. Do you feel this increased protection is needed?
No, it's part of the bill that I'm a little bit sceptical about. The origin of it is that the Law Commission did some work on the whole issue of contempt of court. It's an issue that Chris Finlayson is passionate about. He spent a long time working on it himself. He couldn't persuade the government that he was part of to pass any legislation about it. And he took the draft bill that the Law Commission prepared, put it in the members' ballot, and luck was on his side and it's got drawn. I think there are some problems with it. I think we've got to be very careful about legislating against criticism of judges. I think there's also the other aspect that I'm concerned about is with jurors, criminalising some of their behaviour, I think is probably over the top. But what I've said to Chris Finlayson is that, look, we'll get the bill through its first reading. We'll probably pick it up as a government bill. I've got to get cabinet approval for that. And then we can get some good expertise and good advice and actually work it up into something that I think will meet the freedom of speech sort of test that you'd expect New Zealanders for it to meet, plus also provide appropriate protection for the courts.
So if you did take over the bill, you'd sort of change it around quite a bit?
Yeah, I just think it goes too far in what it says, or the sort of so-called protections of judges. Judges, they are public officials, they do a job, and sometimes people will disagree with them, and will disagree with them publicly and vehemently. We've got to be able to have debates on those issues. I think what Chris Finlayson and his bill is trying to get at is when people make kind of scurrilous and untrue attacks about judges, accusing them of being corrupt and all that sort of stuff, when that isn't the case. And we've got to make sure the judges are protected from that sort of thing, but not from the general run of criticism about the decisions they've made and the way they've gone about their work.
Because how important is it in a sort of functioning democracy that people can criticise judicial decisions?
Yeah, look, of course they've got to be able to, and look, anybody occupying public office, and for that matter, not just a public office, but a position where they are calling on the public to listen to their opinions or adhere to their decisions, of course that's got to be open to public scrutiny and public debate and public criticism. So, I err on the side of upholding freedom of speech before I would err on the side of providing more protections that would end up suppressing freedom of speech, and it is a quest about getting the balance right.
Because Finlayson seems to feel that judges might be intimidated by some attacks. I mean, how easily are judges intimidated? It seems a bit of a stretch.
Well, they're not, because they are somewhat protected. I mean, once a judge is appointed, it is very difficult to remove them, and that is right. You know, that is correct, because they are there to adjudicate on matters both against the state and between private parties, and they should not be under pressure because somebody doesn't like a decision that they make. But what goes with the fact that they have more protections than most employees anywhere in terms of security of tenure is that they are open to public scrutiny and public criticism, and they've just got to wear it.
Moving on to bail laws, I suppose whether Waikerea gets built or not, there needs to be a fairly quick reduction in prison numbers as only 300 empty beds remain. The most obvious solution seems to be to reform the bail laws that were tightened by National. Are you going to reform them?
Yeah, look, I'm certainly not ruling that out. I think what I want to do is, and the Cabinet will make some decisions next week about the total package for criminal justice reform. One of those proposals is having a criminal justice summit, where we can actually lay out A, the size and depth of the problem, and then B, some solutions, both short-term and long-term. And included in that will be what we do with our bail laws. So that will come up for consideration. Part of it, though, I think when it comes to bail and bail decisions, is making sure that we've got more people can get access to things like electronic bail so they can stay in their home, or that we can do better sort of monitoring of people who have, or at least who are facing a charge that's potentially serious, but for whom prison is an over-the-top sort of response pending a trial and determination of whether they're guilty or not. And I think there's more we can do, regardless of what the laws are at the moment, to make non-custodial remand a much more viable option.
I mean, talking about electronic bail, to get this you sort of need to, or the residence you're at needs to fulfil a lot of requirements that I suppose many people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds can't fulfil. Do you see this as a problem?
Yeah, I think that is the issue about accommodation and a bail address is a real issue, and that's why I know that there are some organisations, and for that matter, Housing New Zealand, under our present Minister of Housing, is looking very closely at what can be done so that there is housing available for people who, while they're awaiting trial, putting them in prison is an over-the-top sort of response. There is that. The other thing is the technology, and I know there are parts of New Zealand where, because the telecommunications technology simply is too old, is that they can't go on to electronic bail. If we can find some technology solutions so that if you're living in the East Cape, you've got a better chance of being remanded to an address where you can be monitored electronically, then that will help as well.
Because almost 3,000 prisoners are in jail on remand awaiting trial. This seems quite high. How tight are the bail laws currently?
I think that the changes that were made in 2014, changed the test rate, and I think what it's meant is that judges are being ultra-cautious. And at the time that those changes went through Parliament, we were told it'll mean probably another 250 people in prison, and that would be all. Actually, it's 3,000. Actually, probably since the law changes, 4,000 more than were anticipated have wound up in prison, being remanded in prison. And what that's doing is pushing out waiting times for trials, so more people are waiting longer on remand in prison because the whole system's getting clogged up. So it's having another effect, which I think is adding to a sense of injustice, particularly for those who are then subsequently found not guilty.
Because Judith Collins says that the tighter restrictions were put in place to protect victims of domestic violence. If bail laws were amended, would you ensure these protections remain?
Look at the profile of those who are being remanded in custody. It is not all people who are facing charges of violence. Actually, it's a whole heap of things. And even then, I know I'm aware of stories of or cases of people who are ostensibly facing a charge of violence or threatened violence, when actually they haven't threatened anybody. What they've done is they've smashed up an object or something and somebody has felt threatened by it. That has been treated by the police as a threat of violence, and that has seen them remanded in custody. And again, I think some of those cases, the decisions probably wouldn't withstand a lot of scrutiny.
Because how long does someone stay in remand before they go to trial? Are they in prison for a long time?
I've had correspondence from families who've got family members who've been remanded for over a year awaiting trial. For most, it's a matter of weeks or months. I mean, one proposal that has been suggested is that we actually put a statutory sort of deadline on remand and custody, so you've got to be processed within, say, 90 days or 3 months, and the presumption then is that you don't continue in remand or remanded in custody indefinitely. So, I mean, there'll be a range of ideas that will come out, and I'm keen to hear from anybody who's got ideas about the way we can improve this.
Just finally, Jacinda Ardern has said she expects Aotearoa will become a republic in her lifetime. Do you share this view?
Yeah, well, Jacinda and I both share the view that we would be better off as a republic. I think the idea that our head of state is the Queen of England, or she is the Queen of New Zealand, of course, but she resides in London, is, I think, antiquated. I think, we might be a small country, but we have a very clear identity internationally, I think, and that has come about through just decades of what we do and who we are. We have a very distinct, I think, sense of humour as a nation. You look at our arts and cultural expression, our Indigenous art and culture is unique to us, and we have a very clear identity, and that should be reflected in our head of state as well.
But you won't be the government to do it?
Well, I wouldn't rule anything out, Lachlan. Anything could happen. Right now, it's not top of priority, I think, as Jacinda has said. But, look, I think there's a growing sense amongst more people that actually, for us, when we are represented overseas, our most senior representative should be our head of state, and our head of state should be somebody who comes from and lives in New Zealand.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.